disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I continue to be amazed. I'm just sitting here as I'm hearing the intro play in my ear, and I'm lighting up some TVs and different stuff around me. Those of you who've been here know what my million-dollar studio looks like down here. And no laughing and nobody giving that secret out of exactly what it looks like. And I'm looking over here in the queue. Those of you who are watching on YouTube or wherever you happen to be watching the show or listening to it, we call what we have here the queue, Q-U-E. Q, not like QAnon. We came up with, well, actually, Q, U, I'm probably not even spelling that right. Q, meaning within the group. That's a Q. And I think in video talk, Mark Sutherland, who's going to be with us today, he can probably explain that to us. But if you're in the Q, you're in the ready, or, you know, they can call on you at any time. Got a bunch of phone numbers with unidentified people. Then I see Alan's in here. Morning, Alan, and Blue Sky. God bless you, Blue Sky. Bobby Lee. Bobby got a job. Thank you, Bobby. Chris. Craig, Dan Bukowski, Dan's up early in the morning out there in North Dakota or South Dakota, one of those Dakotas. Dr. Mike, Dustin, Gary Pierce, Jeff Nell, George Lewis. Hey, George, I like cake. IRS, yeah, probably IRS. Jared, Jeff, John P., Jody, Joe Allen, Joe Farrell, King of Ick, Larry Richardson, Linda Studer, M. Trump, Sutherland, Heath, Polly. Portia, Rob, Weaver, Silver, McDonald, Chad, Wayne. Man, come on in here. This water's fine. We got room for a few more. I just thank all of you for being faithful and getting up in the morning, coming here and joining us. And I don't know about you. I wouldn't miss the show. Of course, if I did, I guess it really wouldn't be much of a show. But I just talk about the spiritual growth I've seen, not only in my own life, but in other people. I just see a lot of them, man. I just really, really doing. And I appreciate y'all joining in here. The folks in here, you guys have become really some of my best buds in life. And we talked about that one time earlier, how your life is, you know, people flow in and out of your lives. And it's just kind of the way it is. And all the old high school buddies I had, I only have a couple of those left. And all the college buddies that I had, God, I don't even know. I mean, I guess they're still my buddies, but I don't have any contact with any of them. And the guys I used to coach with, I still got contact with. Big Norm, he's my all time best buddy. But I'm making new buddies, new ones. And I sure appreciate it, and sure appreciate the fact that Mark Trump came by and spent a couple of days at Sky High and getting that thing up and running. And other guys are stepping to the plate. And you know, sometimes I think maybe how would I say this, Lord? One of my good qualities, but one of my irritating qualities is I try to be pretty much gut honest and say what's on my mind. And sometimes I'd be better off if I just kept my thoughts to myself, but I just kind of call them as I see them. And so if I say stuff out there that you guys take personally, I apologize for it. Wasn't meant to be personally. If you took it personally, then whatever. And we're all open to criticism. I'm open to criticism. I get more criticism than you would ever know. I try never to take it personally or get mad at anybody about it. So praise the Lord. Thanks for all of you for being in here today. We have Mark Sutherland's going to join us here. He's a Brit. I think I can call him a Brit. He's from the UK. I think we call that from the UK. We can say he's from England, but that's probably not true, because here in America, we don't even know what the UK and Great Britain, we don't even know what those things even mean. Didn't do very well what would that be? Geography? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I had that, my eighth grade science teacher. My eighth grade, I had somebody through another source told me, my eighth grade history teacher, Mr. Yoakum, eighth grade, think about that, how long ago that was, thought I was the best history student he'd ever had in the eighth grade. He taught like forever. And I don't even remember loving history, although I told you I memorized the Gettysburg Address and John F. Kennedy's. I loved all that kind of stuff. So Praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. Hey, I want to, before we get Mark in here, let me keep on track here. Some stuff that are important. Remember, this weekend at Mansfield, Ohio, we're having I call it a huddle. We're having an event at Mansfield. And Jared, if you can pull that up on the screen. Before we get Mark in here, I want to talk about a couple issues that are near and dear to my heart. Hey, folks, can I make a confession? I've been spending a lot of time at the property. And I'll update our schedule here. We have more stuff going. Somebody said the other day, Coach, you only got it up through August. Yeah, I know. We'll get after it. We got other stuff going on, and we'll get it up there on the schedule for you. But we have this huddle and scrimmage in Mansfield, Ohio, this weekend, August 2nd, starting at 7 p.m. through August 3rd, which is Saturday, Friday, and Saturday. There's a homosexual pride parade in Mansfield, Ohio. And so there, the schedule's on there. I'm not going to – Tom Dunn's going to come and speak to us. Pastor Bill Dunphy's going to be there to speak to us. Excuse me. I'm going to do a little bit of coaching there. We're going to have some Q&A. We're going to hit the streets. We're going to do a couple different things. So this is an opportunity for you to come and be trained, meet some new friends, have some good fellowship, and engage in the culture and engage in the battle. And so that's coming up this weekend. Greg's number's there. His email's there. If you need anything, get a hold of him. He'll tell you exactly what you need to do or bring. And, folks, we want to do this right where you live. Take the initiative to get one of these things organized, and we will come. And so just get a hold of me, and I'll refer you to the right people. I'll get you to Chad, and Chad will help set it up. And then we'll come. We'll help you with the expenses and all of it, no matter where you would be. We need to be able to do that. So there's some more of that schedule that's up there. And hope to see you in Mansfield, Ohio. What else am I forgetting? Well, we have the Central Ohio one coming up. Jared, could you go back on that one? The Central Ohio one at Mike Blake's place, the huddle there at Buckeye Lake on August 16th. And so you guys all know where Mike Blake's place is, right there on the lake where we held all hands on deck. And we're going to have another one on Friday, Saturday, August 16th and 17th. That's coming up soon. Coffee's Donuts, Saturday Morning Fellowship, yada, yada, yada. I got to tip my hat really hard to Mike Blake, man. He is really coming of age, brother. He is really, really getting involved and eager to make great things happen. So if you want to come and be part of that, contact Mike. His phone number, address, all that stuff is there as well. And then Branson, I want to throw that out there. Of course, Chad's got his Salt and Light Brigade going on. Chad's one-of-a-kind guy, man. I appreciate that, Chad. August 23rd down there. And then we're going to be in Branson, Missouri. Now, listen, Branson's going to be a little bit different. Branson's going to be a huddle, but it's going to be more than that. It's going to be an opportunity for us to hand out cards, stand on the street, do some street ministry. There's going to be some music playing, but it could be more or less even like a vacation for you to come to Branson. You could go to some shows. You could go Rock Lake, whatever that lake is around there. And we'd love for you to be able to come and fellowship with us and help us expand the Equal Justice Tour and what's going on with all that stuff. And that's going to be Labor Day weekend. It'll be a little bit different. There won't be the typical boot camp that we have, but it's going to be a gathering to try to expand our numbers in regards to the Equal Justice Tour, okay? So they were updated on some stuff. Anybody got anything they want to throw in for the good of the group? Speak now or forever. Hold your peace at least till tomorrow. The last chance to speak in July is right now. Got a chance to do it. Okay, Jared, pull up. Click on that first thing I got on it. Hang on, Mark. I'll bring you in here in a second. Two things I want to share quickly before we get rolling. Somebody, go ahead. Mark, I'll give you a warning. I found this out through my own trial and error. There's some who, if you're in the queue, it's almost instantaneous response, but some are listening on YouTube and Facebook and different places, and sometimes there's a delay of people trying to get in. I want to show you this. Just, Jared, that first thing says the dispatch. Two things really, really jumped out at me when I saw this and yesterday's paper. Excuse me. I lost it here, Jared. I lost you on the screen. Where is Jared? Why are you clear down at the bottom on this all the time? Okay. Jared's pulling it up there. It was an article in yesterday's Columbus Dispatch because the city council rejects two ballot measures. And 800, it says about 800 protesters. When it's the other side, it's about. It's about 75, about 20, about. And so who shows up? Fund schools, not corporate tax breaks. Listen, I want to show you. I'm trying to make a point here. Jared, get up a little bit closer on the picture. Could you go up to the top of it? Scroll down. There you go. There, now, see if you can get on that picture and make it bigger, Jared. There you are. I was overwhelmed by two things. Number one, how do they get 800 people out? Could Christians get 800 people out? Well, we see here, teachers and supporters. So it's a teachers union, right? Now, I'm gonna hold my breath real quick, and maybe that's as big as you can make it, Jared. Some of you can see it on the screen. Does anybody see one man in that picture? Is there one man? Have our schools been taken over by women? Anybody see a man anywhere in there? These are teachers. The caption says, teachers and supporters. Teachers. Anybody see a man anywhere? Oh, there's one maybe. No, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's one. No, I don't know. Might be. I don't know. Hey, fine, folks. Okay, I hear it. They're going to get mad at me. I don't care. I want to talk about, see, oh, Lord, did I say it? Okay, I'm going to say it. Very few women can train boys to be men. Very few women can do that. And our schools are filled with women. Look at it. This is the teachers union that thinks that. There might be a one. There might be a black man standing right. The prominent black person that we see. There may be a black man standing. Yeah, Jared, that might be a man. That could be. We know. Wait a minute. First of all, I probably shouldn't even identify him as gender because who knows, right? Why is the teachers union able to turn out? You know why the teachers union turns out for these kind of things? They want more tax dollars. Why? Because they get more money. They get more raises. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Jared, you can pull that thing down there. That was just. And then I thought this was really interesting this morning. Jared, click on the next one. 911. What? 911. 911. Jared pulls it up here. The New York Fire Commissioners call for a new investigation into 911. Huh? That's yesterday. That's today. All three buildings were destroyed by carefully planned, orchestrated, and executed controlled demolition, says Professor Lynn Margulis, Department of Geosciences, University of Massachusetts at Amherst, and National Academy of Science member, one of many academics, Jared, can you pull it up, please, who have been very outspoken regarding 911. So this group is now calling to open that investigation back up, folks. Huh? That's pretty big, really. Now, will they get any traction? That remains to be seen. Somebody mentioned it a few months ago, whatever, that Donald Trump is determined to get to the bottom of 911 because he knew what happened. And it isn't what they told us. Now, as Kevin said, that's a conspiracy theory. I probably shouldn't be doing it. So I guess the New York Fire Commissioners are now conspiracy theorists. Interesting. Okay, Jared, you pull that down.
Another interesting point on that is that Tower 7 or Building 7 is not even in the 9/11 Commission report.
That's right, brother.
It's omitted. Anyway,
it wasn't even hit by a plane, and it was the first one that it was brought down.
Yeah, three buildings fell and two planes hit.
Yeah. So now that we're a little bit more awake about the deep state and everything that's going on, we wouldn't find that very hard to believe, would we? What do we call that? The dark state, the swamp, somewhat involved with that. Hey, if they're going to try to overthrow an election, what's the big deal about them trying to bring down the towers? Psalm 2, Jared. Let's go to Psalm 2 real quick as we're getting ready to bring Mark Sutherland in. I met Mark. He's a Brit or whatever he is. He'll tell us here in a second. I met him in Dallas at Hear the Watchman conference. I don't know, 4 years ago, I think it was, Mark. It's good. Time's going so fast. And he swims in and out of my life. He swims in and then he swims out. He swims in. It's not my fault. It's not his fault. He's in Britain or UK or whatever they call that place over there. And ran into him again this weekend at Pastor Spalding's conference, and didn't get to spend as much time with him. He did a fabulous presentation, and I think it's important to bring a guy like Mark on because he has a perspective, he has a non-American perspective on what's going on. Now we all tend to think that the world revolves around America, and it does, but the world's a pretty big place, There's stuff going on in Great Britain. There's stuff going on in the Middle East. There's stuff going on in Russia. There's stuff going on all across Europe. There's stuff going on in Canada. And we, America is not the end all of what's happening in the world, but they're all, I believe, interconnected. And so I wanted to bring Mark on today to talk to us a little bit about from his perspective, what's going on, how this all ties together. And I wanted to bring up Psalm 2 again, because folks, I just can't in my heart get beyond the obvious connection that most churches are missing. One of the reasons I think people are drawn to this show is because we really are showing things that are going on in the society that are spiritual in nature that the churches are not touching. The pastors aren't talking about it. You go to church and look around, chances are pretty good. As you look around, some of the most uninformed and misinformed people that you're going to run into during your entire week are sitting in that same building that you're in on Sunday. And so then they take those of us who have digging a little bit deeper into our faith, and they call us conspiracy theorists, and they stick us in the back room and hide us from everybody else, when these are the breaking issues of the day. And so what's going on around us is an evil, diabolical, demonic conspiracy spelled out for us in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Now, who would be the heathen? See, this is what Mark Trump taught me. When you come to a word, stop and think, what does that word mean? Don't just read it like you're reading a love letter. Why do the heathen rage? Well, who are the heathen? And the people imagine a vain thing. Boy, there's a lot of data right there. What did David mean when he said the kings of the earth set themselves? Now, think about the time frame in which David wrote this, the Psalms. How did David know that there were kings in the earth? What understanding did David have of the world outside of where he was? So he certainly can't be talking about presidents and prime ministers. He certainly can't be talking about that. It says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Now, come on, man. Back in these days when they're riding on camels, how did the rulers of the world take counsel together? How did they get together? How could they possibly have been doing that? They take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. And they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, they want to shake off all morality, all things righteous, all things Christian. They're going to break those asunder, cast away those cords, the control of God. But the Bible says that he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. We're seeing them in derision today, by the way. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Boys and girls, we're supposed to be conquering here. In the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, not the friendship evangelism. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Who are the judges of the earth? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the S-O-N, son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Folks, as America, are the kings of the world putting their trust in Jesus today? No, not very many. No. If a politician, who we would say are the kings of the world, are putting their trust in the Lord, they sure are silent about it, right? They sure are silent about it. So I want to bring Mark, come on in here, jump on in here with us, Mark. Mark Sutherland from Britain or the UK or that land down, no, land way over, whatever. And, welcome, Mark, and just kind of fill us in on exactly what's going on. By the way, Mark, I do have your video queued up if we want to play that. I have it queued up so we can use that if we need to. Come on in, brother.
That's really kind of you. Good morning, Coach. It's absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to join you from your state by being actually in the state, so it's great.
Awesome.
You and I met in 2017, and it's so nice of you to say that I just swim in and out of your life. It's just a real privilege to be over here. We need you. You know, we all need each other. It's one of the reasons why I was given the privilege where Pastor might ask me to come over. But we all need each other. And just to tick, there's something really important I just want to tick off, and just to encourage each other, all of us. The fact is that we, at the conference, we had a lady there from Mexico. We had people from Canada, dear friends of all of us from Canada. There's myself from the UK. Kathy was supporting, reminding me last night that they had someone live streaming the conference from Norway. And then, absolutely, this is what really blew me away as well, because it's very close to me. We had two people from Germany come over and two people come over from Switzerland. And people may say, well, why are you all coming? Well, because there is such a hunger at home that what is happening here, what is being led here, is what is actually needed at home. People are hungry for truth. So, Coach, please do not stop speaking the truth. Please do not apologizing for what you say, because people listen from the UK to your show. I know who they are, and at times I do. So I just want to encourage you in that, and to say that we are in this huge global fight. And one of the things that when we voted, when 17,410,732 people with a majority of over a million voted out to leave the UK, to leave the EU as the United Kingdom, our swamp has been revealed. As soon as Donald Trump was then elected as president, that revealed the swamp that you have over here. They are interconnected. That goes back many years, but definitely goes back to the formation of the Federal Reserve on this side of the pond, which is not federal, and there are no reserves. It's a private bank with printing presses that then decides to charge the American people interest, and that should not be happening. So our swamps, the elite, the control, the hidden hands are joined in this. And this is why this fight is global, and that goes across the rest of the world. Our big issue is that we are trying to wake people up. And what you do, and what many, many people, you know, all our other friends. I mean, when I walked into the conference, other speakers, I walk in and I'm amongst friends, because they are friends of mine. And all of their ministries are trying to speak the truth as best they can and lead. All they want to do is lead people to the truth. It's not about us, we're just very, very ordinary people, but it's just leading people to the truth. And what's happening more and more with what's coming out is that we, as I say again, we just realize how interconnected we are. Just give you quickly, just say one thing. With all the stuff over Mueller spying on the Trump campaign, to actually create a situation where you have a coup against a incoming president is fact.
And by the way, your boys were part of it too, Mark.
That's what I'm about to say. That's what I'm about to say. And I wrote, so back home we have members of parliament, which are our representatives within our constituencies, within the particular areas. So we have about 630 MPs. When President Trump was over a few weeks ago on a state visit, before I wrote a letter, and I'm not saying this as a joke, I'm not saying this bigging me up at all, but I thought, no, I'm going to tackle this as I'm trying to tackle by having letters to my member of parliament, as if to say, I want you to know that I know what's going on, and I'd encourage all of us to write to our representatives and all the rest and start pounding them. And you do that. People over here do that. So I wrote and I said, when President Trump is over, will Theresa May be apologizing to him for using our spy agencies to spy on the Trump campaign? I got a letter back from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. Pastor Mike and Kathy have seen that. I read it out when Carmen and David, but when the Paxtons were here as well, and others. And it basically said, with Alan Duncan MP, said, well, I'm in charge of the Americas, and actually basically, no, we We don't normally comment on what our spy agencies does, but actually on this particular occasion, on March 2017, GCHQ, our big listening station, actually denied and said, gave a press release and said that all the comments that Andrew Napolitano did, said in regard to using other spy agencies, including ours, to wiretap, are complete and utter nonsense. And the then Foreign Secretary, who's now our Prime Minister, stood up in Parliament and actually said, oh, no, this is nonsense. No, it's not nonsense. And this is the huge fight that we have got, as you know, within the media, within the swamp. During the Trump campaign, do not tell me that our media within the UK was not having conversations with the media that was over here. Because I was seeing that and seeing how that was played out on the BBC. The whole thing rigged on the night that President Trump won. You should have seen the faces. Again, like with you, all the polls were wrong. To see Piers Morgan's face, et al., actually go, well, it didn't really go Hillary Clinton's way. And praise God for that, literally, because we would be in a completely and utterly different landscape now. They just thought it was going to be a shoo-in. So, Coach, you're absolutely right. Our spy agencies, as far as I'm concerned, a brilliant book by Dan Bongino, Spygate, I often go on about that. That book revealed that, the fact that the head of GCHQ at that time, Hannigan, and the head of CIA, Brennan, they met at directorial level. They were passing information. To them, they were concerned about or coming up with sort of fictitious stuff in regard to the fact that President Trump, the disruptor, was going to be coming in.
So Mark, let me ask you, Mark, from your perspective, when the Brits, when the people in the UK, when they watch that whole election take place, of course, I'm sure your media is controlled much like our media is.
Absolutely.
What do people in the UK think when they look over here, what's going on in America? What do they think, Mark?
Well, for those that are asleep, actually believe the rubbish that CNN, you know, the Communist News Network, and all behind Clinton and all the other adjectives actually pump out. But there is people that are waking up and question that. You see, part of the problem was it's that stereotype. It's how things are portrayed. They suddenly look at the president of the United States and think, well, he's just stepped off the set of The Apprentice and now he's president. What they haven't worked out is that very often this is an image. They haven't got underneath. So, yes, they swallowed a load of the lies. And more importantly, including, Coach, the church, having witnessed some of these articles written by Mr. Tony Campolo and various things, in various articles saying, you know, I don't see the problem with Hillary Clinton's 33,000
emails. Is there a church in England, Mark?
Yes, there is. There is a church in England. But like over here, we have total and utter apostasy at home. All the movements in regard to what we call, like Pastor White is an expert on this, in regard to all the emerging church stuff. In other words, all the negative, all the apostasy stuff that is over here has also come over into the UK. But there are people that firmly believe in scripture. And as the Bible talks about, there will always be a remnant. It's just finding out where they are. Over here, you have more of a movement that means that we can find out where those people are. Because partly it's numbers. You are a legal population of 320 million, let alone the illegals. That's another subject. At home, we're 70 million. But plus, we have lived under an atheistic, humanistic construct of the EU since 1970. And you could say that the decline of our nation spiritually has very much happened since 1948. But yes, Dave, there is a church. And there is, I believe, a body of people that over time will come together because we've actually had enough. They have left. The church has left them. They are committed in their faith, but the church has left them, Coach. That's the situation.
And Mark, you and I had a discussion on a brief discussion on Saturday. And we both agreed that if America goes down, Western civilization goes down. Does it not, Mark?
I couldn't agree with you more, and I said that publicly on Friday. And I suppose, and it's one of the reasons why then I'm over here and being given this incredible gift and blessing where I have a lot of friends here. And that, you know, we need each other. I say that. We need each other. And also outside your borders, and you joke about that, you know, when you have the World Series and only all your states only contribute in the World Series, can let us. Can we let us participate?
World Series, we don't invite anybody else to it, right?
And I say that as tongue-in-cheek, but it does make me laugh. But we absolutely, we all need each other, and we need to be praying for each other. We need to, you know, I'm not just saying this as hyperbole, but there is no doubt about it. In 2016, and it continues, we, as soon as we had left, voted to leave the EU, you know, prayer warriors across the pond were turning to be praying for your presidential election. Now, I don't sit here like you do. We don't sit here and say that, you know, it's not the worship of Donald Trump. We're not saying that he's deity and all the rest. But man, oh man, are we glad that he's in, because it would have been a very, very different story.
Mark, I tell people all the time, he's not the savior. But I, yes. I really believe that the restrictions that would be on me personally had Hillary Clinton won, I don't think we can even imagine what those are. And the people say, well, you know, he's part of the Mossad, and, you know, he's connected here and he's connected there. And Mark, you know what I tell him? If he is, we're screwed. If he is, we're screwed, right? What other choice at this point do we have?
Absolutely. And I navigate through those waters at times and just respectfully listen to whatever people have to say. And I very often don't respond. And we are seeing the fruit. The number one thing is, it's not about him. It's not about his administration. It's about Christians. It's about the people of God to rise up. And as you write
again, let's make the church great again, right, Mark?
Precisely, but to occupy and hold the land. And what's happened is, and particularly at home, we have decided to occupy, be pushed out of the public spaces. You know, we've created this subculture. We've created our own music subculture, our own Christian television program. You know, I understand that, and I understand that. But what's happened is that we, particularly at home, we have completely withdrawn. But also the attack has been so much that it has really, really pushed us out. So for argument's sake, if, you know, the BBC was very much founded on, in many ways, particular Christian principles, believe it or not. The first director general of the BBC was a committed Christian. And over time, and the same has happened over here when there's been criticism of Christians involved in the arts, involved in films and all the rest. I understand that. Particularly with some of the disgusting stuff that's pumped out of Hollywood and all the rest, and some of the disgusting stuff that's pumped out at home. That is not easy, where we see where the finance has gone and all the rest. But we have pulled out. We have just said, well, we'll leave it to this group. We'll leave it to this group. We'll pay our subs to this group so that they can go in and speak on supposedly a political level. We have all been conned, because what happens is that pays for a substructure, that pays for their salary, that pays for, and I'm not going to name organizations. I need to get out of the country alive. But I'm not going to name organizations. You know exactly what you say. You say at the beginning, the credits at the beginning of your show describe it brilliantly. It's something that we all need to listen to on a regular basis. You know, evangelifish, you know, we have a bite with no teeth. These organizations are like that because it's about, as I say, it's about a lifestyle. And what you and others are trying to lead and being a general in this fight, I'm not just saying that to blow blue smoke up your backside, but it's true. And it's within, you know, with Pastor Mike and others to lead people. We are literally crying out, where are, as we've said, where are the black robe preachers? It's what Pastor Mike talks about.
Amen. I'm going to open the queue up here in a moment, but I have another question I want to throw at you. We watch the Muslim influence in Great Britain and what's going on there. Which is the greater threat, Mike or Mark, the Muslim influence or the secularism? Which is the greatest evil facing Europe right now?
Islam, and I address it as Islam. You know, I want these Muslims to become Christians. But if people are following the four tenets of Islam, yes, that is a threat. When politically, at political level, within Parliament, you are debating the issue of Islamophobia. We need to create a law to protect against Islamophobia. Yeah. That just shows you how bad things are. And of course, within the left, my enemy's enemy is my friend. This is where we've reached. I would say that at the moment, they are both on equal par. They are both on equal par.
It's probably it's the secularism that's probably opened the door to the Islam, isn't it?
Yes, because at the end of the day, people are turning around. They've looked to the church and gone, well, these are our foundations. Why aren't you then leading? And we're not leading. I mean, we've got interfaith this, interfaith that.
Yeah.
No, thank you. And I'm not being rude. I'm not being unloving, because we want at the end of the day, you know, there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. Period.
Yeah. You think we ought to believe that, huh, Mark?
It doesn't go down very well in our sort of pluralistic society. But if we address it as Islam, if people are following the tenets of Islam, we are the country, you know, Emily Pankhurst giving women the vote, etc., fighting for that, laying down her life for that, and others of that, the suffragette movement. And then suddenly all these years later, we have the left not even discussing the fact that under Islam, the suppression of women, etc., being seen as a second-class citizen. They're not even discussing those things, because, as I say, it's convenient for them to use that, because they would wish, as socialism, which leads to communism, wishes to completely destroy the Judeo-Christian culture.
Amen. Amen. Mark, listen, I'm going to open it up for questions, but I want you to keep in mind, I'd love to play The Lion and the Lamb, or Between the Lion and the Lamb at some point here. It's going to be your call, but I'm going to open it up. Anybody have a question, come in, something to say, ask Mark.
Yes, Mark, as an American sitting over here who's lived in Europe for quite a few years during my military time, I look and I see that Europe at that point, back in the 70s, kind of looked at America as the future of the world, as the futuristic thing. But in America, sitting here, I see what's going on in Europe as our future, if we don't stop it.
Well, good point, Larry.
Because, you know, you guys played the diversity and acceptance and tolerance card when Islam first started invading into your country, and that's all it was. It was an invasion, purpose planned and followed out. And you see what's happened now. And we are playing the very same deck of cards and the same hand of cards that you played 25, 30 years ago. We're playing it now, but the tempo of the game has sped up so much. Do you see any hope that the United States will be able to avoid the Muslim takeover of our cities?
Great question, Larry. Hey, Mark, what's your advice to America?
What's your advice to America is what Larry's just said, is observe what's going on. What my advice is to America is that you are involved, we're all involved in the biggest spiritual battle of our lifetime. Engage, put your armor on and engage. And spiritually, you know, doing those kind of actions, and then engaging on the political level as well. When you've got a situation where you had Ilhan Omar in Minnesota, I believe, just to get that fact, when you, as Pastor Mike reminded me, where you create this caucus to get in to Washington to cause the chaos that is going on, learn from that. Just quickly, we look at what God did at the Tower of Babel for a reason. Separate. We have nations for a reason. We have separate languages for a reason. That is to actually appreciate that. What's happened is, as Larry has said, is that multiculturalism wishes to reverse that. For me to even say that, then at home, you'll be seen as a bigoted, racist, and all the rest. No, I appreciate other cultures, of course. But the fact is, when it was here to addressing Islam, when, as Bill Warner does, if we look at 1,400 years of jihadism, we then look at 548 battles within the Mediterranean, going up to Spain, etc. These are historical facts. So what do I say to America? Learn from history. You didn't fight the Barbary Wars for nothing. They are learning from history. But at the end of the day, we want all these people to become Christians. It's not a race issue. It's a cultural issue.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Mark, I'd like to ask a personal favor of you. I'm going to put a link in the chat, and I would like to ask you to spread on to all of your friends over in the UK that if they have any acquaintances or friends in the United States, please have them send this link to their friends in the United States and have them encourage their U.S. friends to step up to the bat at the plate before what happened in UK happens here. And I'm just going to put that link in right now for you, okay?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you.
Anybody else want to come in?
Hey, Coach. I wanted to ask Mr. Sutherland, how do you recover from such a huge influx? And where you now you have children that are within the ages of at least 10 to 15 years old, they're fully immersed in the English UK language and all the ways. How is the UK going to recover? How are they going to be able to push those people back to where they came from?
Wow.
This is a death blow because, you know, it only took care came into the United States, and right now people haven't even realized the debt. And when I say the debt is where so many Muslims are controlling our everyday life. And you know, they're imposing their will, and we can't even we can't even say anything against it. So how is the UK gonna recover? I know Tommy Robinson, he's got a huge movement, and God bless him. But do you understand, short of the Lord wiping the slate clean, this could take up to a century or more to recover from this?
Mark, if you would address that and then also tie in the Tommy Robinson uprising and what's going on there. Those two things they're interesting to us over here.
Yeah, well, you raise a very, very good point. And Tommy, as you know, is now in Belmarsh Prison. He's in the cell, I believe, above Julian Assange. So have that picture in your head. And the fact that they've had a conversation, I believe, according to Ezra Levant of Rebel Media in Canada, through the windows.
Tommy Robinson and Julian Assange are communicating in prison?
Yes, because they are. They've had a conversation, I believe, according to Ezra Levant, through their prison bar windows. One is either above from the other. Tommy has raised this issue. The reason why he's been put in prison is because he reported on facts. They do not like the fact that the grassroots movement is addressing a huge, huge issue. The last thing I want to see, frankly, is bloodshed or a shooting war. That's the last thing you want to see over here. It's also tied in. It's tied in with us leaving the EU. Is really interesting. Well, I'm over here at the moment, and we've just got a new prime minister, and I'm going to really work hard to answer this question, is the fact that there is a beginning to be a bit of a sea change. People are turning around and going, well, hold on a minute, we want to be an independent nation again. Let's push back. Part of leaving the EU, if a country does not have it in charge of its own borders, its own money supply, and its own laws, it's then not a country anymore. So Mark,
you guys voted to leave the EU, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Three years ago,
and it still hasn't happened. What's going on?
Well, basically, because you've got a Brexit country, we have a Brexiteer country with a Remainer parliament. You have 630 MPs, and 400 odd of them, if not more, are Remainers. They are Remainers. They are embedded in this elitist construct of believing the whole of the world revolves around us being part of the EU. And as I explained on Friday, when we joined in 73, we lost our sovereignty. We now, Coach, on October the 1st, leave. It's a heck of a fight, but we will leave. And God willing, as far as I'm concerned, we leave without a deal. We do not need a deal. We will walk away. But more importantly, it's not about us leaving. It's the state of the EU. The EU actually economically is going down. We look at what's happening in Italy. And more importantly, we look at what's happening in Germany in regard to their economy. This is not in a good state. It is going down, and it is bureaucratic tyranny. And what's happening is it's becoming far more and more centralized. The whole idea is we are a democracy. You are a constitutional republic with an electoral college. I say that for a reason. While people want to undermine your electoral college, many, many people don't understand that over here. This all your audience does. And that's why you've got to fight for that. But the fact is, Coach, we are fighting the elites who do not want various things to be revealed in regard to our sovereignty, etc., etc. They are then paranoid, thinking that as a nation, we won't be able to cope. We do 15%, I believe, of our trade with the European Union. The rest of it is with the rest of the world, including you. And presently, if your economy continues to motor as it is doing and being blessed, then we need to sort out our trade deal as quick as we can with you, and then we will go to trade with the Commonwealth countries again. What it is, it's a spiritual battle.
Explain this whole crown thing to me, will you? The queen and the princes.
The queen doesn't run the country, right? That was dealt with under Cromwell. And the queen doesn't run the country. We beheaded Charles I. Cromwell comes in, establishing, basically beginning even more to establish Parliament. Yes, we put Charles II in. Yes, we have Magna Carta. We do have our own codified laws. We do have, which is a culmination of creating a constitution, which is what your constitution has had a great influence on when it was written in 1787. But we don't necessarily, well, you can argue this. There is a piece of paper that lays various things out. And then we've seen Parliament evolve over 320 years as a parliamentary democracy. Then from, as I say, 1970, we've seen a retraction because we gave up that control. We end up becoming under more and more EU laws. The Queen is a figurehead. That's it. Yes, of course, she would have some very, very interesting conversations with prime ministers and also within her role as head of the Commonwealth, because it's relational, because of the relationships that she's had for a number of years. So she there is no power. It's pomp and ceremony, yep. And etc.
Let's anybody else come on in here.
Hey, Mark, this is Vince calling. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. Lovely to talk to you.
All righty. Yeah, I sure hope to get in touch with you after the show. I hope you have my number, yes?
Yeah. I need to do that. We need to do that.
Very good, brother. All right, catch you soon.
Can you speak about Boris Johnson?
Yes, I can. Boris Johnson, again, is not a perfect person, and nor are you and I. However, he has come in, I believe, potentially as the disruptor. Have you heard that one before? Cometh the hour, cometh the man. He's written autobiographies on Churchill and all the rest. Boris Johnson in 2016 was at the spearhead in regard to us leaving the EU. He then got shafted, stabbed in the back by Michael Gove because he was going to run for the then run to be prime minister. And I think as a nation, as someone said, we may have had to go through Theresa May to get to Boris Johnson to say that we're going to leave. Boris is saying we are leaving on the 31st of October. He's put some very, very interesting people inside his cabinet, including Dominic Cummings, who ran the Leave movement in regard to one section of that. Boris, we may find ourselves something to pray for. I really value this. We may find ourselves the fact that we will call an election. He will call an election in September of this year to get a bigger mandate. And he is saying it how it is. He absolutely eviscerated Jeremy Corbyn of the Labour Party in Parliament last week at his first Prime Minister's Question Time. If you have a spare moment, start watching it. Again, Boris Johnson is not deity. It's not down to Boris Johnson. It's down to us on the ground to be engaging in this spiritual fight in prayer. But
hey, Dave.
And
yes,
he is a good move.
Real quick question. I don't mean to sound negative, but demographics say that Great Britain and French are in trouble. Demographics, population, your thoughts?
Yes, but more so in France. France is in quite a lot of trouble in regard to that because of their previous links, sort of from their own empire and countries that they run. I mean, on the one hand, what you're saying is absolutely right, but also that certain element of the perception that you would then get from London, which is understandable. And you're absolutely right when we look at the amount of mayors that we have that come from an Islamic background, right?
So Mark, are the churches, whatever that word means, in the UK, are they preaching have babies?
I don't think I've actually heard that particular sermon. That may be because I don't really frequent them. And unfortunately, in regard to the whole abortion issue, there are groups that are really, really fighting that. There is a liberal mixing of a mindset. There's too much of an apology that is going on. It's a bit like when Obama came in and went around giving his apology tour. Going back quickly to what saying about Boris Johnson, maybe we'll see a situation where Boris Johnson is going to help us to find our backbone to discuss the issues that need to be discussed, particularly as a nation from 2003, 2010, under Blair et al. You created a situation where you couldn't even discuss immigration without being called a racist, bigot, and ill-informed, embedded within the press. Now we are starting to have, we need to have that through people like Douglas Murray, a healthy, well-informed discussion about this issue. Because as a nation, structurally, if we look at London, we look in the southeast and the strain of our structure, we cannot cope with this. We cannot cope with this. And then, Mark, of course, saying that, it seems inflammatory language.
Can we win with a passive church?
No, period. We cannot. No way. We cannot win with a passive church at all. You know, onward Christian soldiers going on to war, you know, with the love of Jesus going on before. We are supposed to be militant on earth. That's it, period. You know, no way, we cannot be passive. That's why you are unpopular at times, Coach, with what you say. I particularly at times, I'm unpopular as well. We need to find our backbone. The church at home, I just find it too soft. You know, being nice, whenever any people say to me, oh, I think you're really nice, respectfully to present company, sometimes I find that as an insult. What is that? we're not called to be nice. I'm not saying that we're called to be rude up front, but we're not supposed to back down. And we can't back down. Now, to some people at home, a very dear friend of mine would say that it's finished within the UK, that the country is over. I don't actually agree with him. Not because I'm having a false hope. I don't actually agree with him. The reason why I say that is because we have to stand to the end. That's it. But passivity is not an option. You know, failure is not an option, as NASA's space agency says over here. But passivity is not an option at all.
Amen. Amen. Someone, come on in. I think it was Joe tried to get in.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Which one?
One of you. Whoever, go.
All right, I'm going. Anyway, I've known this. I've known about this for years, long before anybody else did, I think. Anyway, because I've been through a lot of the stuff that has been going on in this country ever since I was a kid, God's sakes. Anyway, I've always believed in God all my life. And the things I've been getting since 2005 was rise up like King David. King David was man of God's own heart, yet he was anointed for battle too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Many are chosen, but few will follow. A few will answer. You know what I mean? We have to, it's God's way, the way God wants it done.
Amen. Amen. Mark, we got about 4 minutes left here. Bring it home. Give us, give America a message from the UK. What would you, from your perspective, what would you tell us, brother?
Well, from my perspective, the bottom line is, if the Lord tarries, I'm concerned about 2024 politically. I'm concerned about that. The groundwork needs to be done now. The bottom line is, as Ephesians 6 says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Our swamps on both sides of the pond have been revealed. Please learn. The fact is, the European Union is a leg of global governance, period. And what we need to do is to educate ourselves with fact. We need to engage. We need to get out there in all the little ways that we can, and to speak to people and engage with people, not rely on these organizations from the past to speak on our behalf in Washington State, in Washington. You need to be involved with badgering your elected representatives as well. You need to be engaging in that. Coach, you do that. The fact that you've got all that history of going into Target, going in to see your congressmen and women, your senator, etc. That's also what we need to do. But more importantly, this is the biggest spiritual battle. We need to be engaging in prayer. We need to find out where people are. We need to be phoning up. We need to be communicating with each other so we can engage in prayer, engage the enemy on that level. And more importantly, finding out what Father God wants us to do. What are our assignments? Passivity is not an option. Sitting back saying, well, I've got my bus ticket, I'm going to go to heaven, everything's fine, the whole world can go to hell in a handcart, excuse me. No, it can't. We have a responsibility here. We know how the book ends. We know what the book of Revelation says. We know that the Bible, 27% prophecy, absolutely. And as our dear friend David Paxton says, that is a motivation to press on and to tell the truth and to get the truth out there and to push back. We have to do that.
That's in our DNA, is it not, Mark? That's in our DNA, brother. Pushing back is in our DNA.
Well, absolutely. That's why you had the 1776. We had a little fracas then. But here's the punchline. Here's the punchline. My understanding, and I'm not an expert on American history, my understanding is that there was only 3% that pushed back, 3% at that time that fought the king, that fought the redcoats, that fought the most, the best army, best military army at that time. And you won. There was only 3%. So where is the rest? Where is that 3% now? Where is the rest of you? That's the whole point. And what part are all of you then playing? And I want you to hear me. I'm saying that to myself. I feel very much involved in this fight on both sides of the pond. So that's where I'm at. So it's like turning around and saying, where are you? There are people that want to lead. Coach is one of them. Pastor Mike is another. The speakers at the
pond
are those, you know.
There are many that do. Mark, where do they find you? We're running out of time here, brother. I didn't even website. Mark's a film producer, folks. I don't even know if I even said that at the beginning.
No, that's right. I'll just say a quick plug for the short film that I had the privilege to show. So go on YouTube, find Between Lambs and Lions short film. Plug in that. That would be good. My website is www.creativehubproductionslimited.com. You can find me there. You can email me. I'll give the email.
Say that again, Mark.
www.creativehubproductionslimited.com. You can email me on marksutherland26@gmail.com. I would say find me on Facebook, but Facebook have taken two of my accounts down, so that's been an interesting situation. And then if people want to get hold of me, you could find me, I'm sure Coach could steer, but also Pastor Mike could steer as well. But watch, I'd be honored if people would click on my little film. Again, watch that. There's a new one coming out at a certain point about communism. It's a little bit in your face. I apologize maybe for some of the language in advance. But it says it how it is, and it'd be an important thing, important tool to use for next year. But it would not go down in certain comfortable circles, Coach.
The kings of this world, the kings of the earth conspire against the Lord and his anointed. The sooner we figure that out, folks, the more effective we're going to be in this war. God bless you, Mark. Thanks for your time. I'm sorry we didn't get the video, had it queued up, but we'll get that up there another time. Thanks for being with us.
A pleasure to be on. Thank you very much, Coach.
God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.